The philosophers throughout the generations have addressed the question, what is the most important ingredient in the good life? What virtue defines man? And there have been different philosophical schools on this question. For example, if you go back to the early Greeks, they put the emphasis on knowledge. Knowledge is the key to human success in behavior and morality. The Stoics, on the other hand, put the emphasis on self-discipline, on willpower. A person has to be in control of himself, of his desires, his appetites. Later on, there was a school of thought called the Epicureans. They put the emphasis on contentment, banish fear and pain, just be content in life. While Judaism accepts all these as virtues, and no doubt that knowledge is very important, there's no question that self-discipline is to be emphasized. And on top of it all, of course, contentment, peace of mind. But there's one virtue that defines the Jew. It's an over-encompassing virtue. It embraces all of life. And that is Kiddushah, sanctity. Kiddoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. The key for the Jew to come close to the Shekhinah, to have a permanent relationship with Almighty God, is sanctity. Sanctity in all areas of human behavior. And of course, if you open up to Parshas Kedoshim in Vayikra Yutes, you will see that the emphasis is on so many different areas. There's hardly a domain of human endeavor, of human behavior, that's not encompassed by Kedushah. Kedushah means imitating God, being pure of mind and spirit, focusing our energies on that which is uplifting. Imitatio Deo is really the virtue in Judaism. But if there's one particular area where Kedushah is up front, is emphasized above and beyond all the others, above and beyond reverence for parents and returning lost objects, and loving thy neighbor and thyself as thyself, there's one area I would put the focus on, the emphasis on. Kiddushah in modesty and tzniut, in relations between the sexes. And within this context, a tremendous amount of emphasis has been placed by the poskim on the concept, the halakha of yichud. This is, of course, well known as the prohibition of a man and a woman who are not married to one another to be alone in a private, secluded place. But what's not known is that the laws and the prohibition of yichud encompass many different cases, many situations. And the laws are complex. I would say that in our society, in contemporary society, more than ever before, the laws of yichud have become relevant, upfront, issues that have to be addressed by the poskim in order to come to decisions. We could talk about contemporary society both from the perspective of sociological and technological developments, things that have become more popular in our society, and certainly touch on the laws of yichud. Situations like the woman in the working place, adoption, which is now very popular. We could talk about the physician examinations, situations of client and therapist relationships which touch on yichud. So there's a whole gamut of sociological reasons why yichud and its laws, as complex as they are, have to be studied today. Modern society knows situations that didn't exist before. The elevator, for example, which presents a problem for the poskim in yichud and other technological advancements. But I think above and beyond that, the reason why yichud in our time has to be studied, it's so relevant, is because we're witnessing a society which is so permissive in areas that until now were considered modesty and private and intimacy. We can imagine today in our time, even public areas perhaps, accessible to all, in which promiscuity is accepted as a mode of behavior. Nobody looks twice, nobody thinks this is different. And dafka, because of this permissive atmosphere in which we live, the laws of Yichud have become very relevant. So Kedusha and modesty, Tzniut, that's what we're dealing with. In this shir, Mirtz Hashem, we will address guidelines for the laws of Yichud. Bezrat Hashem, in the next shir, we'll address specific cases and situations that arise in contemporary society. But until we study the guidelines, we won't be able to feel the logic of the poskim and how it applies to many situations. The sugya of Yichud begins in Kiddushin. At the very end of Masechta Kiddushin, starting with the Mishnah and Daf Pei Amud Beis, and continuing for another blot or so. But Yichud also appears in other sugyas in Shas. In Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, and no less than three places. In Kiddushin, in Avodah Zarah, and in Sanhedrin, the Gemara coins the identical phrase. Yichud min HaTorah. Yichud as a prohibition on a biblical level. And the Gemara asks, Minayin? The Gemara answers with a very unique kind of Yalfusa, a derivation that's something, I would call it almost a remez or an allusion. The Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Remez li Yichud min HaTorah minayin." Where can we find a remez for Yichud on a Doraisa level? And the Gemara goes on to quote a pasuk, a parish of Mesis, which addresses the issue of Avodah Zarah. Mesis, according to Chazal, Miloshon Seter, something that happens in privacy. We're in a private place, one individual entices another to worship idolatry. And the Torah in that parsha, in Dvarim Yud Gimel, speaks about Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha. Your brother, who's defined as Ben Imecha, you and him share a mother. Why the emphasis, asks Rabbi Yochanan, named Rabbi Shmuel, on Achicha Ben Imecha? Apparently the Ki Yisischa, that private relationship, which ultimately led to the worship of Avodah Zarah, was particularly common in Ben Imecha. Ben Imecha then is used by the Torah as a situation of common intimacy, where a mother and her son are together in a private place. And the Gemara derives from that. Ela lomar lecha ben misyached im imo, v'osu lisyached im kol shar ha'arayos. A son is allowed to be alone with his mother in a secluded area. That's ki yisischa ben imecha. That the Torah accepts as common because it's permissible. But osu lisyached any other private situation between a man and a woman who's an erva, as the Gemara says in kol ha'arayos of the Torah, that's prohibited. The Rishonim pick up the following diuk, the following emphasis in the Gemara. Yichud min HaTorah minayin? Is Yichud therefore a doraisa, a violation of a biblical law? For a man and woman to be alone together, is Yichud a violation of a doraisa? The Rambam, in Perek Chav Beis Mehilchos Yisurei Bia, writes that the Isur Yichud is midivrei kabbal. That's a very ambiguous phrase in the Rambam, has to be studied. It's a research project unto itself. We're not sure if Divrei Kabbalah is the Rabbanan, is the Raisa, somewhere in betwixt. But what's clear is that the Rambam was bothered. How could Yichud be Minat Torah on a classical Doraisa level if there's no real source for Yichud in the Torah? Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha is just a remez. It's an illusion. Anything we derive from a remez can't be Doraisa. It has to be an explicit pasuk. However, if we put the Rambam and his opinion on the side and take a look at other Rishonim, we'll find something amazing. The list of Rishonim, all of whom accept that Yichud is a violation on a biblical level, Doraisa, is a long and impressive list. There's a book, 200 plus pages, written by the Dvar Halacha, Rabbi Avram Horowitz. dedicated purely to the Isur Yichud. And in his introduction, he brings the list of Rishonim, all the Gedolei Ashkenaz and Sfarad. Who's who in the Rishonim list that all agree to one fundamental principle, that Yichud is an Isur Doraisa. Very strange. If Yichud is Doraisa, why do we find that in the Talmud, the Chachmei HaGemara come up with so many situations in which the Isur Yichud doesn't apply? They come up with different logic and svaras, no psukim, and they permit Yichud. Yichud in certain close relatives, a father with his daughter, a granddaughter, etc., a son with his mother, grandmother, a son with his mother, grandmother, so many situations, a husband with his wife who's a nida. The Gemara even has a discussion about a situation of Avelus, that maybe during that period of time there's no Isur Yichud because the couple is not in any way disposed to some sort of sexual violation. How could the Gemara allow all these heterim, these leniencies, based on svar, on logic, without a pasuk, without a scriptural basis, if Yichud is Doraisa, if it's a Torah law, as all the Rishonim seem to accept? That's a very fundamental question, which I think will lead us in a key way to understanding what Yichud is all about. But I have to add one very important point. There are two Rishonim. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, Rav Moshe Mikusi on the one hand, and the Sefer Avchinuch, Rav Aaron Alevi on the other, both agree that there's a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra which forms the source, the basis for the Isur Yichud on a biblical level. And that pasuk is, Vel Isha ben Nidas Tumasa Lo Sikrav Legalos Ervasa. The Torah says, thou shalt not approach a woman when she's in the state of a nida. And the question is, how do we define approaching? What does kirva mean, lo sikrava? According to these two Rishonim that we know of, Yichud is included in lo sikrava. This is a tremendous revolution. Our understanding intuitively is that a sexual relationship requires some sort of physical contact. Perhaps lo sikrivu would go as far as to include kissing and hugging, but at least some physical contact. In the case of Yichud, a man and a woman secluded, alone, there's no physical contact. And yet, according to these Rishonim, that is kirva la'erva. That is an approach. There is some sort of sexual relationship, according to the Torah's wisdom, in a situation in which a man and a woman are alone in a secluded place. And so, according to these Rishonim, clearly, Yichud min HaTorah has its biblical source. And once again, the question arises, how could the Rabbanan find different logical reasons to permit Yichud in cases, in situations X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C? And the answer, I believe, is simple but yet profound. And this will open up a methodological research project that takes us way beyond the confines of the laws of Yichud. There are cases in the Torah where the pasuk, where the isur, as formulated by scripture, is deliberately vague, undefined. Take, for example, the Torah says regarding Yom Kippur, V'inisem es nafshoseich. What does it mean? What is inui? And the Ran points out at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma that the Torah was deliberately vague in this case, allowing the Chachmei Yisrael, our sages, our greats, to define the parameters of inui. What constitutes inui? And so they came up with 5 categories of inui. In another situation very similar, the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perikof Aleph, speaks about the Torah tishbos. The Torah commands us to rest on Shabbos. And the Rambam says, Nemar b'Torah tishbos, v'har be'idvarim asru chachomim mishum shmus. He starts with the Doraisa and quickly shifts over to the Rabbana. My high, how could it be? The Chinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel, speaks about the Iser Melacha on Chol HaMoed. He says it's Doraisa. And yet, HaTorah Masra L'Chachamim L'Hatir Melacha U'Lesar Melacha, to define the parameters of this Iser. We have a very important concept. At times, the Torah is very explicit, very outspoken about what the definition of the Iser is. But in other occasions, the Torah leaves it up in the air. It's ambiguous. And gives the authority over to the Chachamim to define the parameters of the Iser, to define the nature of the Iser. We'll have it in Mitzvahs as well. This, I believe, is what's going on here in Lo Sikrevu, according to the Smag and the Sefer HaChinuch. What constitutes a violation of Lo Sikrevu, of approaching an Erva? The Torah doesn't tell us. Masar HaDavar L'Chachamim. The Chachamim will define when Yichud as an Iser applies and when it doesn't apply. And so, we certainly have clearly a source for Yichud Doraisa. Chachamim, as we said before, have exceptions to this rule in various cases. A child, for example, a girl below the age of 3, a boy above the age of 9, there's no Iser Yichud. In the case of a husband and wife, when she's a nida, no Iser Yichud. Certain close relatives, no Iser Yichud. This is the authority that the Chachamim were handed over to by the Torah when it utilized the term Lo Sikrevu. But now we come to a very important discussion. What is the nature of Yichud Doraisa? There are two possible definitions, two underlying principles, each of which is attractive unto itself and plausible, that could answer the question, what is the nature of the Iser Yichud? What defines it? One is to say that a situation of a man and a woman, the relationship between them is that of an erva. Erva is a technical halachic term, which refers to either a married woman, an adulterous relationship, or she'er basar, an incestuous relationship, certain incest situations. In a case of an erva, a man alone, secluded with an erva, which the Torah prohibits according to all Rishonim, is it A, the Torah is protecting the Jew from a more serious violation? If they're alone in a private place, this may lead to a more serious violation of the Iser Gilui Arayos, of a sexual act. Or is it B, the Torah defines Yichud as prohibited in and of itself? Yichud is something that the Torah finds objectionable. We find, for example, in the Mesilat Yesharim of the Ramchal, that he writes that Iser Yichud Aser B'Toras Atzma, unto itself, not because it might lead to a more serious violation. The difference between these two approaches to our definition of the Iser Yichud, the prohibition of Yichud, is very fundamental. When situations will arise in which it is impossible for he and her together to consummate the sexual act, or it's very unlikely, given the disposition of the man and the woman in this private secluded area, that this would lead to a violation of a more serious aver of the sexual act, would there be an Iser Yichud? If I go with our first definition, that Yichud is only objectionable because it might possibly lead to a more serious violation, then once I come to the conclusion that in situation X or Y or Z, there's no fear, there's no serious statistical probability that a more serious violation would occur, or even moreover, perhaps it's impossible biologically, as we'll soon see, then the Iser Yichud doesn't apply. If, on the other hand, we take the second definition of Yichud, namely that Yichud is an Iser Machmas Atzmo, it itself is objectionable. What should we say? Between he and her, there are certain vibes that the Torah finds objectionable. It is a sexual relationship unto itself, then irrelevant of whether it could lead to a more serious violation, Yichud B'Pias. I believe that this issue is a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. What's the case? The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph raises the following question. Is a man allowed to be alone with a married woman whose husband is somewhere within the city limits. And the Gemara says the following. Omar Abba, Bala Be'ir, if her husband is in the city, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. What does that mean? The straightforward pshat in Rava would indicate that there's no Isur Yichud at all. But if one is careful about the reading of Rashi, Rashi says the following. Ein Choshishin Lahalkos. In other words, the punishment for violating Yichud, namely Malkos, lashing, is alleviated in this situation. And why is that? Says Rashi, demistifei mi baal. She's afraid of her husband. Hashta osi, any moment he may show up. There is no disposition, no serious fear given the situation of Baal Be'ir, her husband's within the city limits, that a violation of Gilui Arayos might occur. But Rashi says, in Choshen Lahalkos, the implication of Rashi is very clear. There is no heter, we are not lenient to allow a man to be alone with a married woman, even if her husband is within the city limits. We'll alleviate the punishment of Malkus. We don't believe that anything happened here. We have to be very careful not to publicly flay them and punish them because it might lead to people thinking who knows what, then she can't go back to her husband. But as far as the violation of Isur Yichud, Rashi accepts Isur Yichud, despite the fact that Rashi says that she is in no way predisposed to seduction, to any sexual act. Tosfos rejects Rashi. Mashali toch pirusho de isura mia ika. And Tosfos asks Akasha, rejects Rashi, until finally comes to the conclusion, Menir lefarish, ein choshen klal mishum yichud va'afilu isura leka. Tosfos would allow a man to be alone with a married woman in a private room, secluded, as long as her husband is within the city. Rashi prohibits it. What lies at the root of this machlokas? Lefiani is daiti, according to my mind, it's our question about how to define yichud. Rashi understood that even if there's no real assumption on our part that possibly the situation would lead to a more serious violation, yichud is also, she's an eishes ish, she's married, it's an erva. And as such, a man is not allowed to be alone with her in a private place. Tosfos, on the other hand, is operating with a whole and entirely different premise about the definition of yichud. Yichud, according to Tosfos, is a gzera. We find there's a Bryson of Rav Nosson. We're not going to go into right now, but there are sources for the fact that sometimes the Torah itself creates a gzera l'dvarecha. The Torah is interested in protecting us from more serious violation. And therefore the temptation of yichud has to be avoided. But in a case, in a situation where we have no reason to believe that the yichud would lead to a more serious violation, Tosfos says there's no yisur yichud at all. If this be the case, then these two definitions would be relevant to the most fundamental issues in the laws of yichud. Question number one. Is there a minimum shear, a minimum amount of time, less than which is not a violation of yichud? If I assume Rashi's definition, that yichud is prohibited per se, then any split second of yichud, of their being alone, would be a violation. But according to Tosfos, unless you have the minimum amount of time that they're secluded, such that they could now violate a more serious aver of Gilui Arayos and commit a sexual violation, then there's no Isur Yichud. Number two, what's the situation of a male who, physiologically, according to the physicians, is incapable of performing sexually? This was a question that came up hundreds of years ago to the Zayas Ranan, one of the great poskim, in the case of an elderly gentleman who needed the help of a nurse 24/7. And the question of Yichud was addressed by the Zayas Ranan. Here, there's no chashash, no reason to even dream about the possibility of violating the Isur Gilui Arayos. So, would Yichud be osur or not? And of course, the nafkamina of Baal Be'ir, because she's afraid of her husband coming. And then we get to another sugya. And that's the famous sugya, also here in Kiddushin, Daf Pe Aleph of Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbi. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yosef, Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. Interesting, and if we have more time, we'll address this question, but nobody, not even Rashi, seems to question the meaning of Rav Yosef. Everyone takes it straightforward. There is no Isur Yichud in the case of Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim. What is Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim? According to the Pesachei Tshuva, in the laws of Yichud, there's a phenomenal machlokus here, how to define Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim, a place which is open into a public area. On the one hand, he quotes the Radbaz, the Binyan Sion, these were great meshivim, and in their responsa, they write that even if he and she are alone in a closed room, but the door is unlocked, anyone could come in at will, that itself is called Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim. No one can see what's going on in the room, but anyone could come in at any time. That itself is permissible. However, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes Rabbi Kiva Egan and the Beis Meir, Rabbi Meir Posen, they disagree. According to their understanding, Pesach Pasuach L'Shusha Rabbim means an area that's open in such a way that a passerby could see through the door or through the window and know exactly what's going on inside. What is the machlokas between the Mekilim and the Machmirim? And I believe it's the same issue. According to our definition, that Yichud is a gzera, it's only because we're afraid that it might lead to a more serious violation, then the Binyan Sion and the Radbaz make absolute sense. In a case where somebody could barge in at any moment, there's a strong deterrent that precludes the attitude that might lead to a sexual violation. Because if a person were to be caught, his reputation would be shot. Anyone could come in at any moment. According to Rabbi Kiveger and the Beis Meir, on the other hand, we have to remove the situation of Yichud. The fact that someone might come in, and he and she inside are afraid of that, that may make it very unlikely and unreasonable to assume that a violation of Gilui Arayos would occur in this situation, but it doesn't remove the reality of he and she together in a private place. Yichud per se is objectionable. The Torah prohibits it. As far as Yichud d'Orais is concerned, as we said, a man and a woman alone, secluded, and she's an erva, there's no question about the fact that we can go in two directions. But there is another category of Isur Yichud, and that's Yichud d'Rabbanan. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Avodah Zarah, on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, that David HaMelech and his Bezdin initiated an enactment, a gzera, prohibiting a man being alone with an unmarried woman, a pnuya. That's the Rabbanon based on gzera of David HaMelech. The Gemara goes on to tell us that in the Bezdin of Hillel and Shammai, they instituted a gzera prohibiting Yichud with a non-Jew, either she with a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, or a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman. In both cases, it comes under the gzera of Hillel and Shammai. Yichud Rabbanon in the third situation exists, based on the Mishnah here on Daf Pei Amud Beis and Kiddushin, which prohibits a man being alone with two women. The Rashba and his Tshuvas says that that's only Derabbanan. Midoraisa, Yichud was only prohibited in a perfect state of seclusion. One man with one woman. In the case of two women with one man, it's prohibited, but only Derabbanan. Yichud Derabbanan, as a violation of a gzera, doesn't tolerate two different definitions. It's crystal clear, and no one would question that the definition of Yichud Derabbanan is a gzera, a situation which could lead to a violation of a sexual act. Therefore, in Yichud Derabbanan, if we set up situations, as we discussed before, we'll just recap it very quickly, in which there's no chashash, there's no real suspicion that the seclusion of a man or woman would lead to a sexual act, then it's mut. Then everyone would agree that it's permissible. Therefore, if a man is physically incapable of consummating the sexual act, yichud derabanan would certainly be lifted. For example, if we were to postulate the case of a nurse who's non-Jewish, or alternatively an unmarried woman who's serving as a nurse for this elderly gentleman, or if there would be two nurses at the same time, one man with two women, which we said according to the Rashba is only derabanan, then since there's no possibility in this situation of a sexual violation, simply because the physicians tell us he's incapable, this would be lenient. Not so in the case of Yichud Doraisa. If it would be a married woman, a Jewish woman, who's an Erva, we would have a serious issue that, as we said, indicated before, would be dependent upon the machlokas between Rashi and Tosus. Point number two. There's no question that the shear of yichud would be a prerequisite, a precondition, for violating yichud derabana. And there are various possibilities as to what that shear yichud is, going from 30 seconds all the way up to 2 minutes and more, but whatever it might be, there is a shear yichud, less than which is no violation of yichud derabana. We're going to see later on that in the case of yichud with an automobile, which is a very sticky issue in the poskim, because it didn't exist at the time of Chazal, some poskim will encourage a man to take a second woman along in the car. But that doesn't make any sense, because the Mishnah explicitly prohibits one man with two women. The only possibility is to explain the Mishnah by saying that by taking another woman, you reduce Yichud from Doraisa down to a Drabanan, and then say that in the situation of an automobile, we don't really have a chashash, a serious, reasonable suspicion of a violation of a sexual crime. Thirdly, and this is extremely important, what would be the status, as we discussed before, of a man and woman alone together in a closed room, but the door is unlocked? No one could see them as they pass by, but anyone could barge in unexpectedly, and they'll be caught. That's certainly a deterrent. It would depend. If it's Yichud Doraisa, we've got a real serious issue here. Rashi and Tosus. If it's Yichud Derabanan, then all the poskim, even Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and even the Beis Meir, would allow it, because at any moment, someone could barge in on them, and they're not predisposed to a sexual act. That deterrent would lift the Isur Yichud Derabanan. What about the case of Baila Be'ir that we spoke about before? A man is alone with a woman who's married. Her husband is somewhere in the city. That's Yichud Doraisa. The door is locked for sure. She's an Erva, she's an Eishes Ish. Rashi would prohibit it, but suppose there was another woman along. So a man is alone with a married woman in the presence of another woman. Since there are two women, we reduce the Isur Yichud from a Doraisa to a Drabana based on the Tshuvas HaRashba. And now we can apply the principle of Mistafe. There's no Yichud Doraisa, and we could be lenient. Another case that could come along is the Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara says that in the presence of a young girl, a man is allowed to be alone with an adult woman. And the logic of the Gemara is that a man would be afraid of violating a sexual act in the presence of a young girl. She herself is too young to be a subject of sexual seduction. She's old enough to appreciate, to understand if she sees a sex act. And the poskim discuss exactly what age. I mean, just to give it to you in a nutshell, some poskim say that she's above the age of 5 or above the age of 7, she's as old as 12, and she becomes a kind of chaperone here. And the halakha permits it. It makes sense, because since there are two women here, it's only Yichud Derabanan. In Yichud Derabanan, we only introduce a gzera, and in this case, a man would be inhibited to implement a sexual violation, a criminal act, halakhically, because she'll ruin his reputation. She'll blab about it. A similar situation, says the Rambam, would apply in the case of a young boy. In the presence of a young boy, likewise, there's a certain inhibition to do a sexual act. Again, the poskim discuss how old the boy is. The youngest age that I know of in the poskim is 7. Some poskim say it goes from all the way up to 9 or even 12, according to some poskim. In the presence of a young boy, once again, there's this natural deterrent, and there's no chashash of bia, of a sexual violation, and there's no isur yichud. Once again, it makes absolute sense in the case of yichud derabbanan, since there are 2 men here alone with 1 woman. The poskim therefore presume that in a case of yichud derabbanan, even if the man and the woman are alone, let's say she's an unmarried girl or a non-Jewish woman, they're alone in a private secluded room, the door is locked. If the key is handed over to a male whose presence within the room would remove the Isur Yichud, that's enough of a deterrent to be matir, to take the lenient approach. Because since this other man has the key, he may show up at any point. The couple, he and she, are not predisposed to a sexual act. There's no chashash of gzera, and Isur Yichud is lifted. However, as I said before, the halacha differentiates between 2 categories of men. We said before that if 2 men are alone with a woman, it's mutter. But the Gemara says, "Bamedvar mamurim b'ksherim, aval b'prutzim afilu asar." If the man who you take along in this room is a kosher, then it's okay, 2 men with 1 woman. If on the other hand he's a parutz, which literally means he is laid back about the Jewish law, and the poskim discuss what that means. Does it mean that he's laid back and he doesn't observe meticulously all the halachas, all the mitzvos and isurim? According to other poskim, it means in the sexual area he's very laid back, he lives a life of promiscuity. According to some poskim, even if he's not careful about the isur yichud, he's a parutz. In such a case, the Gemara says that even 10 men, if they're prutzim, there's an isur yichud. Likewise, the Gemara says that if a man is traveling on the road, it's not enough that there's another man with him. He needs 2 other men and a woman. So it's 3 men and 1 woman. And the poskim apply the same halacha to a case of a man and a woman who are alone in a deserted area or even in an apartment in the city during the late hours of the night. It'll have to be 3 men with 1 woman. 2 men will not suffice. To summarize our approach, and I think these will form the guidelines for the analysis of all the cases of yichud that have become so sticky and apply so frequently in common society, we have to differentiate between 2 situations, yichud doraisa and yichud derabbanan. As we said, yichud doraisa, 1 man with 1 woman alone in a secluded place. She's an erva, which, as we said before, technically it means she's an eishes ish. According to some poskim, if she's single above the age of 11 or some 12 and she's a nida, a nida is also considered an erva. That's a gigantic machlokas. And of course, in an incestuous relationship, other than a husband, a father with a daughter and a mother with a son, and that goes up and down the generations, grandparents, daughters, granddaughters, etc. But other than those close relatives, that's an erva. A brother and a sister is not technically usur in yichud if it's done b'derech haroi, just on a haphazard basis. But for a brother and a sister to take an apartment together for a longer period of time, let's say a month or longer, that would be prohibited. But certainly other incestuous relationships would be prohibited. And in such a case, we're dealing with yichud doraisa. According to Rashi, the way we interpreted it, it's an isur machmas atzmo. It's objectionable per se. And therefore, we don't ask the question about deterrence, inhibitions. People might see them. Somebody might barge in on them unexpectedly. None of that. And then, on the other hand, we discuss yichud derabbanan in 3 situations. A, in the case of a single unmarried girl. B, in the case of a non-Jewish woman or a woman, a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, and see the Tshuvas HaRashba in the case of two women and one man. In two women and one man, we're dealing with Yichud Rabbanan, classical Gzera, will solve that problem in any number of possible ways. A, we may have a situation of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabbim. Here we don't need to go as far as the Chumrah, the strict approach of Rabbi Kivega and Rabbi Opposin. We can allow Yichud in a case of an unlocked door. In the case of Yichud D'Oraisa, we're going to have to go further than that. We're going to have to leave the door ajar. Or perhaps give the key to someone and tell him it's reasonable he might come in, he's a kosher. He, if he was inside, would remove the Isur Yichud. That perhaps is a leniency. So Mirtz Hashem, next time when we discuss the situation of a physician examining a woman, where the laws of Yichud are very strict because privacy defines that as a necessary component in that kind of physical examination, we're going to have to come up with some sort of a heter based on the laws that apply. If it's Yichud D'Oraisa, if she's an Eishes Ish, of removing the situation of Yichud. One last point before we go. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his introduction to the book Dvar Halacha, which is written by his brother-in-law, we mentioned it at the outset. It's called Dvar Halacha, dedicated over 200 pages to the laws of Yichud. And in his introduction, Rav Horowitz turned to his brother-in-law, the Gadol Hador at that time, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and asked him the following question. What would be if a woman thinks mistakenly that the door is closed, and she goes into a Yichud situation? Lo and behold, she lucked out, and it turned out it was Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabbim. The door was not locked. Would she need tshuva and kapara? Did she at least violate an avera, or was it just in her mind? And he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman a second question. What about the situation of a married woman who thinks that her husband is out of the city, she was alone with another man, but lo and behold she lucked out, and as it turns out, in reality, her husband was not out of the city, he was in the city. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said the following, without explaining it. He told his brother-in-law, which is recorded in the introduction in the Dvar Halacha on Yichud, that in the first case of a woman who thought that it was Pesach Noul and it turned out to be Pesach Pasuach, she doesn't need tshuva and kapar. In the second case of a woman who's married and in her mind she thought her husband was outside the city limits, it turned out that he was within the city limits, she needs tshuva and kapar. And I believe that in the light of our discussion, we can make sense of Rav Shlomo Zalman's conclusion. In the case of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabbim, she didn't know the Pesach was Pasuach, there is no Yichud. If the Pesach is Pasuach, certainly according to Rav Akiva Eiger, where anyone passes by and can see inside, they weren't alone. Seclusion and privacy is the sine qua non, the precondition to the Maisi Yichud. There's no Maisi Yichud, she doesn't need Tshuva and Kapar. On the other hand, in the case of an Eishes Ish, she's alone in a secluded place with another man. In her mind, it's prohibited because her husband's outside the city limits, and lo and behold, her husband is in the city limits. That doesn't remove the basic Maisa Yichud. She has in her hands a violation which requires tshuva and kapar. Mirtz Hashem b'li neder, next time we'll take these principles as they guide us and apply them to a wide variety of cases that are very common in contemporary society.